Welcome back. This weekend, the Russian President Vladimir Putin was facing a mutiny after a private army known as the Wagner Group, led by Yevgeny Prigozhin, marched towards Moscow. As many as 25,000 members of the Wagner private army were reported to have crossed back into Russia from Ukraine, where they had been fighting alongside Russian troops. Yesterday evening, however, the march on Moscow was called to a halt by the Wagner leader, leading to following talks with Belarusian leader Alexander Lukashenko. Prigozhin will now move to Belarus. Today, President Putin told Russian state television that Prigozhin will not face charges, easing the country's most serious security crisis in decades. Well, for more, we're joined by Donika Obakon, professor of politics at Dublin City University. And Donika Obakon, you've been following Russian politics for a long time now. Was yesterday the most serious security crisis in decades?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, so incredible were the events of yesterday that you were reaching to find some kind of historical precedent. And Vladimir Putin provided one himself when he addressed the nation, and he said it was like 1917 when he argued that Russia was stabbed in the back by the Bolsheviks and taken out of World War One. So essentially, again, it was a difficulties in war leading to an overthrow of government. And he said that Russia was fighting for its survival. So for him, this was the most serious threat to Russian sovereignty in over a century. And there's no question that this was completely unexpected to many, even though the intelligence agencies in America apparently had wind of this. And it's amazing just how quickly they managed to acquire so much territory. I mean, the Wagner Group took far more territory in Russia than the Russians have managed to take in Ukraine in more than 9 years. So you know, something that has really brought, I think, Russian statehood and the integrity of the Russian state into question.
But also amazing how quickly that U-turn was performed. What sort of deal do you think would have been struck with the Wagner leader in order for that U-turn to happen?
Well, that is the big question, and nobody has the full picture there. I mean, anybody who says they know exactly what has been going on is so, you know, obviously misinformed, or they're selling something. I mean, it's quite clear that any deal, any security guarantees that Prigozhin has got, you know, they're going to be very hard for him to enforce. He's lost his leverage now. You know, Putin in the morning described him as a traitor and said that he would be dealt with very harshly and very brutally. So Putin's credibility, in a way, as a dictator is undermined if he doesn't somehow follow through. As long as Prigozhin, you know, still exists, there is that kind of latent threat there that I think is almost intolerable from Putin's perspective. I mean, how does he walk back from this is something that's unclear. But what's very interesting, I think, in the broader context of Russia's war in Ukraine is how we often hear how, you know, Putin cannot be humiliated. He has to be always offered an off-ramp. I mean, yesterday was quite clear Putin was humiliated in Russia by somebody who was very much a creature of Putin, and he did back down. I mean, he hasn't issued very harsh punishment against Prigozhin. Prigozhin himself is allowed to go into exile, it seems, in Belarus. And the people who were fighting with him, and indeed blood was spilt yesterday, Russian army blood, they've been more or less given an amnesty. So it's a remarkable, you know, walk away from what was a very trenchant position that Putin put forward in his emergency address to the nation.
Is it perhaps too simplistic to think now that Prigozhin, the Wagner leader, will simply move to Belarus, will live quietly and will be left alone?
That's very hard to imagine. As I said, his mere existence is a threat to Putin and makes him seem weak. I mean, it may be a staging ground. He may be allowed to go to somewhere else. Of course, Wagner has huge interest in Africa, where it is there to essentially make money and is a prop for many oligarchs. That's possible. But it's hard to imagine, you know, both of them coexisting in any fundamental sense in the future. So Prigozhin, it seems that he's blinked here. But I mean, again, there's a lot that's not known. And it's very unclear why the Russian military was unable to, I mean, this is where it really raises questions, why the Russian military was unable to stop the progress of the Wagner Group. I mean, the US had intelligence of this days in advance. They're convinced that Putin knew about this as well in advance. And yet he failed to act. And of course, you know, the fact that the Russian people themselves didn't try to repel this invasion, you know, that there was no strong movement of the military, it brings into it asks, you know, what we've seen yesterday asks far more questions than it provides answers. And I think it may be just the first act of an unfolding drama.
And we'll watch with interest. Donika Obakon, professor of politics at Dublin City University. Thanks for joining us.